Are you ready? Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first hour, all over the place, but good stuff. And a lot of potential trade talk in the last segment. And before we get back to that, I got a couple tweets I want to respond to on that. But I also want to do a shout out to China Garden today. Went by there for lunch.
Hey now.
The lemon chicken. Carol suggested this to me one day. You know, I love the lemon chicken there.
Right.
She suggested get the lemon chicken with the spicy chicken sauce.
Okay.
Game changer.
Oh, really?
So next time you're there, give that a try.
Okay.
So that is a recommendation from Carol. And I loved it.
I trust Carol.
Oh, I do too, man. She's the best. Also, I sent out a tweet earlier today about this poker tournament. It's next Saturday at Whitmire's, and it's filling up fast. Go to touchdownclub.org and get signed up. And it's going to be great, man. We're going to have Carbach beer, and we're going to have Damaris barbecue. That's all part of your sign-up. And you can get a chance to try the Whitmire stuff. We've got all kinds of great prizes. It's for a terrific cause. It goes to Touchdown Club of Houston. And what they do is they help schools that can't afford it get weight room equipment for their football players and things like that. So they're real involved in the community. And if you get signed up and you want to sit at my table, send me an email, and I'll try to get it arranged. The first few people who do that. But please get signed up fast because it is going to fill up. And it's next Saturday night, 6 o'clock. I'll even talk Game of Thrones with you at the table if you want. That's how much I'd love to see you guys there. All right. Back to the tweets. And Home Dude said, the Mets aren't a good team right now. Do you think they'll get rid of any of their pitchers?
No, because those pitchers are controllable for a while, and they're all young and good.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of Jacob deGrom stuff started because – somebody wrote about it, but the reality is, yeah, the Astros called and asked, and the Mets just said, no, not happening, and that's okay. I mean, if you're the Astros, you should make that call, but the Mets and the Giants are two interesting teams because they expect to be good again next year. I don't anticipate either of those teams selling off any important parts. That's different from some of these other guys. I mean, I don't think the A's are going to be good anytime soon, and if they can bolster the future, they'll do it. But the Mets believe this year is the hiccup, and
they should.
They've got a pretty talented roster there, so they're not going to give up any of their core players, especially guys who are under control, unless you're just absolutely blowing them away. And I think the Giants are kind of the same way. When you look at the Giants, like, oh, they should be in sell mode.
Hell, I think they will sell some guys, but they're not selling Madison Bumgarner.
No,
they're not selling their key guy. I think like guys like Eduardo Nunez is probably going to go.
Yeah.
But Buster Posey's not going anywhere.
No.
Madison Bumgarner's not going anywhere.
They're trying to trade for Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to get set up for next year. So,
Also, I mean, keep in mind, teams like the Mets and the Giants who are having bad years, but those are big money teams. They don't have a problem spending money. They're not going to freak out and try to dump salary. Teams like Oakland, when they're not going to win, anybody who's got a real price tag on them, they try to get rid of. That's just the way it goes because Oakland's not looking to spend any more money than they need to.
Yeah, so I wouldn't expect the Mets to do anything. Now, where I would keep an eye out as we get closer here, the two teams that probably we're not going to be in sell mode, but might be inching toward that are Baltimore and Toronto.
Yeah.
And you know, somebody had brought up Marcus Stroman before the All-Star break, and at the time the Jays were in buy mode. Those are two teams that might have to make a decision on what they're going to do over the next couple of years. Are you going to keep this core together and come back? Or
well, I I'll say this: Baltimore, Toronto. To me, their window, they missed it. You know, yeah.
It was the last couple of years.
Yeah, and then the start of the erosion was letting Encarnacion go. Not that he's been, you know, a world beater, but Bautista's not what he was.
Yeah, Donaldson's not an
MVP. Troy Tulowitzki's no longer what he was in Colorado. They have to give serious consideration to what they are in the future, and that's a lot of big money players who don't give you big money production.
But you know what? The one thing about them, though, they're closer to those other teams and that they don't care about spending money. The damn Rodgers people are just ridiculous with money.
The Orioles are interesting to me because they've got – I mean, if you had asked me to make a list of the five best players in baseball coming into this season, Manny Machado would have been on that top five.
Yeah,
and he's been so awful this year, and he's in his second year of arbitration. He's making $11.5 million this year. He'll probably still get more money than that, but my guess is after this next season, Manny Machado goes somewhere else and makes a ton of money. Whether it be the Yankees or the Red Sox, somebody's going to give that dude $25 million a year, even if he's still struggling, because historically, he's been a great player. The question becomes, at what point, if you're the Orioles, do you say, all right, Manny Machado is not going to be here forever. What should we try and deal him now and see if what we can get? Now, obviously, I think right this minute is not ideal because he's playing so poorly.
Yeah.
But maybe in the offseason or something, they think about that or sometime next year. But they... You know, they're next season. I'm not sure what they're going to be. I'm not sure how. I mean, I know they're paying Chris Davis long term.
Right. He's.
They're paying Adam Jones long term. I think the rest of that team is pretty much in flux. Like they could come and go. But
well, and if you're the Orioles and you can get a nice piece for a guy like Zach Britton,
yeah,
don't you do it?
I think you do.
And that's a guy that could help any team that's a contender right now. I think. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, let's squeeze in a UFC call.
All right.
Chandler, you're on the Blitz. Go,
sir. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Sports.
I wanted to get AJ's opinion on the upcoming UFC card, in particular, Jones-Cormier, Maya Woodley, Cerrone-Lawler. The whole card is stacked. It might be a little bit early to talk about it since it's the weekend after this one, but just your thoughts in general.
Yeah, everyone's in a hurry to get on
that. I know. This is about the fourth call we've gotten about that today. or this week, I mean.
I guess
it's good that people are excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose so, but it does seem strange that that's the card that everyone is talking about already, UFC 214. By the way, there's a UFC on Fox this weekend. Free on Fox, Chris Weidman versus Kelvin Gastelum, Jimmy Rivera and Thomas Almeida. Thomas Almeida, a guy I used to train with, he's a stud. And then Dennis Bermudez and Darren Elkins, some really good fights for free this weekend if you're into free fights. But yeah, I've for UFC 214, I can't pick against John Jones here. I'd like to see John Jones lose to Daniel Cormier, but I just think I think John Jones is too much. I think Tyron Woodley is sort of matchup nightmare for Demian Maia, who I like Maya's jiu-jitsu, but I just think that Tyron Woodley hits so hard. I think he could put Maia out of the fight before it gets to the ground. Hopefully Lawler-Cerrone happens. I like Lawler there. And then Cyborg, Lady Cyborg, is on that fight against Tanya Evinger, who trains here in Houston. But that Cyborg is just a monster. And then they've got Jimmy Manuel on the main card still, but I'm pretty sure he's on the main card solely as insurance in case John Jones can't fight, because Jimmy Manuel was the second-ranked light heavyweight contender, and they've already had one card where John Jones fell off the card, and it was like a total nightmare. Anderson Silva came in and saved the day for him at UFC 200. They're keeping Jimmy Manuel on that card in case something happens with Jones-Cormier so they can make that the main event and not lose it. But, yeah, it's going to be a great card. It does look stacked on paper, but – dude, that's July 29th is a long way from now in UFC days. A lot can happen. A lot of sad things can happen between now and then.
That's also a poker tournament. I bet we could find a way to get the fights on there, too.
That'd be cool.
I bet we could do that. I'll talk to the guys. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, can I give you a very quick Game of Thrones geek thing?
Sure.
The ending that I think you would love. Maisie Williams was talking about what she thinks would be the best ending to the show. This would be an AJ Hoffman ending. That whoever winds up on the Iron Throne at the end, it's like once you think it's Cersei or Dan or whoever it is, they pull off the face and it's Arya.
That could happen.
That would be your preferred ending.
I would like that.
And I'm not going to get into the rabbit hole of details that Jong and I got into on Twitter and then before the show today, but my theory on the White Walkers, there's a really cool YouTube video out there that gives me some credence.
Yep. I came across it, I think, last night, and I watched it. Fred's theory, not too out there.
On the Night King.
Okay.
Not the Night's King, but the Night King.
Yeah.
So.
But because they made the argument of Dany being kind of the bad guy and the Night King being the good guy.
Well, not that he's necessarily good, but the point, one of the key points is, with the exception of bit players like Joffrey and Ramsay Bolton, who's really all good or all evil in this thing?
I don't know that Joffrey or Ramsay were bit players.
Well, they pretty much weren't. They weren't going to win the throne. Of the key people here, it's never as simple as good and evil.
The very few people that I could say pure good, I feel like Bran Stark is pure good. You know what I mean? Like he's not looking to hurt anybody.
Why? Because he's in a wheelchair.
I mean, maybe that's part of it. But yeah. I mean, he's non-threatening. He doesn't kill anybody, unless his life is in danger.
No, he killed Hodor,
not intentionally.
but he messed him up as a kid,
not intentionally.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
But like, wouldn't you say Bran is good?
I don't see any evil.
He means well.
I don't see any evil in Bran yet.
Yeah. Everybody else, I see what you're saying,
they're complicated.
They're complicated, yeah.
So the Night's King can't be all evil.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no real backstory on the Night King.
Yeah.
And I learned that there's a difference between the Night King and the Night's King.
Yeah, which I did not know either until I watched this video.
What's the difference?
Well, the Night's King...
Just watch the video. Yeah. It's like,
I don't want to watch a video. Just tell me.
The Night King is leading the army of White Walkers. The Night's King was the king of the Wall, and the 13th Night's King. Now, this is kind of a theory. It was a Stark, and had relations with a white, a White Walker, and that's it's more of that Wall is more. This guy's theory is that Wall is more of a truce than to keep them out. And over the years, the humans have kind of broken that truce, and the White Walkers are upset.
And the humans are the bad guys, which makes sense.
I'm not buying that.
I would say if you have, 18 minutes to kill?
Yeah. I don't have that kind of
And I think the biggest argument he was making was that they say that humans put up that wall, but if you really think about it, that wall is so big and so long that it would have taken them hundreds of years to put it up. And it doesn't make any sense. And the only logical sense that it makes is that the Night King put that wall up because he actually has some control over winter and ice.
Yeah. That wall does seem like a big project. I mean, Trump can't even get the wall he promised built.
Yeah.
I mean, that wall is nothing compared to the wall that they've got on Game of Thrones.
And that wall doesn't even have a door.
Yeah.
So we could let him come in, right?
Well, but he plans on it to have one.
Well, I know he does, but not. I'm talking about the wall.
Oh, the big wall has a door.
No, it's got a tunnel.
Yeah, but there's like the door rises up.
Yeah, but it's a tunnel. It's not a...
But it can't necessarily let...
But it's not a big door. It's not a big door like Trump wants to build. He wants to build a big, great, great big door.
This is a big door. The giant walked through that door.
He had the duck.
That's a big door.
He had the duck.
But that's still big.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think a giant could walk through the door that Trump wants to put on the wall. Otherwise, building a wall seems pretty pointless.
Are there giants in Mexico?
I don't think there's any giants coming in from Mexico.
Hmm. All right. Hey,
El Gigantes.
Jung, what is that video called?
I'll tweet it out again.
I'm not going to watch it because I don't like to watch conspiracy theory.
Yeah, but for people that want to
watch it.
It's
not really conspiracy, yeah.
I don't like anything that might spoil something for me. That pisses me
off.
No,
it doesn't really spoil. It's more speculation. And Lamont says, really don't know if Bran is good or evil, especially because he's time traveling around. Who knows what he's done?
And he's too young.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like a good kid, though. Maybe I'm a sucker.
And well, and the major and another major point the guy in the video was making was that none of this started until Danny was born and started to take power.
And then the dragons came, and all of a sudden the White Walker's like, uh-oh, we got to do something about these damn dragons. See, and I'm a fan of dragons, but after seeing this, you know, I'm all about Team White Walker now. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. Just retweeted that and John tweeted it out for those of you who are curious about it. This is one of my favorite songs of theirs. This was one of my karaoke go-tos. But more importantly, remember that second Transformers movie? We're talking earlier about how music...
Yeah.
Sticks in your head. They use this song in so many different ways in that movie and with orchestras and all kinds of stuff and use the riffs from it. It's pretty cool. It was well done. There's not much to like about that movie other than, yeah, stuff gets blown up. But the way this song was used was incredible. And, yeah, we talked about that first hour for those of you who keep asking. So, and that's why we're playing Linkin Park all day.
We were talking during the break, and normally I don't like to do that. I like to save it all for save all.
Yeah,
words
yeah. We rarely talk about things that we're going to discuss on the show, but then happened.
We started talking a little bit about Yu Darvish and the possibility of trading for him. And honestly, to me, the Astros should be pushing really hard for that to happen. And Yu Darvish, the downside to trading for him. And you can look at his record right now, and the Rangers are 1-9 in his last 10 starts. But in those 10 starts, he's striking out more than a batter per inning. He's given up more than 3 runs twice in those 10 games. The Rangers just don't hit when he's on the mound. It's kind of like when the Astros had Roger Clemens,
yeah,
and he was like a middle of the road record, but all his stats were out of this world. Because they didn't hit when he was on the mound for whatever reason. But Darvish is unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. So he very well may be a rental.
I'm okay with a rental.
And the Rangers should be more than willing to deal him because if they really want him back, okay.
Well, resign him next year.
Money whip him in the offseason because that's what you're going to have to do anyway. It's not like Yu Darvish is going to, you know, go on the cheap. This is a dude who's about to get paid. So, to me, it makes more sense to get a prospect or two back and then go after him again if you want to resign him because it's not like basketball where the team that you don't have – there's no bird rights where you can make the most money from the team that – that had you before. Everybody's got they can offer you as much money as they possibly want to. So if the Rangers want to open up the wallets, they can go as big as anybody, or the Astros could go as big as anybody if they wanted to. But if I'm the Rangers and I know I want him back, I would do. And the Yankees did this exact same thing last year with Aroldis Chapman.
Yep.
You know, the Cubs really wanted him. The Yankees knew they weren't going to win. The Yankees got Gleyber Torres, who is the number two prospect in baseball for Aroldis Chapman. And then when the World Series was, and granted, it worked. Cubs got their World Series.
Right.
They're happy.
You think the Cubs would trade that?
The Yankees have Torres. They're happy. The Yankees wanted Aroldis Chapman back. So they said, okay, we'll just pay him a bunch of money, bring him back. And now he's back in New York. I don't see why the Rangers couldn't do that same thing. It helps the Astros. It helps the Rangers. It helps everybody.
Yeah, I think if you look at it logically from both team standpoints, absolutely. But if you look at it as a fan, you're like, oh, no way. Rangers will never trade with the Astros. If you get a good prospect, hell yeah, you do.
Man. And I mean, realistically, if the Rangers are looking to get like a top-tier prospect, that they could include a guy like Matt Bush, you know, out of their bullpen. And Honestly, for you, Darvish and Matt Bush, right now, there's not a player not currently on the Astros like that's in the organization. I wouldn't trade. So if you want somebody named Tucker, throw in the Tucker. You want Fisher? You want any of those guys? Hell, you want Martez? I would trade him too. Any of those guys, I would trade for those two guys because I feel like a you Darvish Matt Bush combo makes you so much better this year. And the other thing we were saying during the break. You Darvish at if you Darvish and Dallas Keuchel are both pitching at their best, peak you Darvish and peak Dallas Keuchel, I don't know which one's better. So you've got like a if they're both on, which I mean that's asking a lot. You've got a 1 and 1A situation, which is awesome come playoff time. And then Lance McCullers is pitching game 3 of whatever series. You got to feel good about that.
Well, and that's my hope is that whoever they get is a guy who can be a number two, and then McCullers is your third guy because, you know, if you get 5 good innings out of him in a playoff game and you've beefed up your bullpen, I like your chances.
Well, and you Darvish has a lot of playoff experience. And here's the other thing. Let's say Dallas Keuchel's not right come playoff time. You've still got a number one starter for the playoffs.
Well, hopefully. That's my only concern about Darvish is health.
Yeah, well, he's been healthy this year. Since he has been this year. He had Tommy John, and since he's been back, he's been good. I mean, any major league pitcher, it's rare that you have a guy who just goes out and
oh, yeah, that's what we were talking about on the break. There's very few Clayton Kershaws out there who go out and are outstanding year in, year out, and never miss a start. I mean, that's just the dangers of being a starting pitcher. But that's my only concern about him, especially with Keuchel being banged up right now. And McCullers hasn't looked right since he's come back. But 713-780-ESPN. You know, I'm... We've had a really good run of good texts and tweets and stuff, and there's just always one text, and I'm not even going to say anything about it except it's a 409 area code. But, dude, good luck repeating kindergarten next year. Come on, man. Grow up. I have a Planet of the Apes update for you.
What?
Yeah. Well, sort of a Planet of the Apes update.
God, it's so hot in here.
It is.
What is happening?
Is this?
Tyler must come in here and touch the –
Yeah, I hate to break it to Tyler, but we're pulling rank on him from now on when it comes to the how hot or cold it is in here. If he wants to keep it 100 degrees up until 4 o'clock, be my guess. But no, not happening from 4 to 7.
I don't think Tyler goes in there. Joel and Nick were here.
No, I've seen him sneak in there and turn that thing off whenever it gets too cold for him. Dude, go bring a hoodie in. That's all you got to do. But we'll do our Planet of the Apes update when we come back because... You know, I think something you're talking about may be about to happen when it comes to apes and men. We'll take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Talking to me. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
When I pretend everything is what I want it to be, I look exactly like what you had always wanted to see. When I pretend I can forget about the criminal I am, still a second after second just because I know I can. But
howdy, Houston. Dave South here.
Sports! 713-780-ESPN is your number. So I think we're going to have a Florida segment here. And I think we're overdue for a Florida segment.
John, do you have that that thing I sent you pulled up?
Give me 1 second.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with my Florida story and we can transition into it because it sounds like you got a couple of monkeys to deal with. Well,
let's not go there.
It's ready to go.
All right. Well, because I have a monkey story, an actual monkey story, Planet of the Apes type style, where... But let's do this.
This is the mayoral race in St. Petersburg, Florida. It is, I would say it's getting heated. And there is a gentleman running who is white and a gentleman running who is black. And the white gentleman, I don't know what kind of grade he got in high school debate class, but If this is what he was getting by on, I don't think he made it very far.
Mr. Neville, you and your people, you talk about reparations. The reparations that you talk about, Mr. Neville, your people already got your reparations. Your reparations came in the form of a man named Barack Obama.
Please hold your response.
My advice to you, if you don't like it here in America, planes leave every hour from Tampa Airport. Go back to Africa. Go back.
Site of the Ricks, non-factor.
Oh, boy. Yeah. The go back to Africa, never a good thing in a debate for a political position when you are running against a black man. That just seems unnecessary.
How do you make it this far?
I have no idea.
Reparations.
Yeah, the reparations you are searching for have already been paid in the form of a man named Barack Obama.
Please tell me he wasn't the incumbent.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It is Florida and it is Tampa.
It wouldn't totally surprise me.
You know what? A bunch of people will vote for that dude.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe one of his first things he can do is get rid of these...
These damn dirty apes.
Apparently, bands of feral rhesus, and I don't know how to pronounce this, M-A-C-A-Q-U-E monkeys?
I don't know.
Macaw monkeys?
Quay monkeys? I don't know,
but they're roaming Central Florida, scaring families with their aggressive behavior, making homes in suburban backyards, and puzzling wildlife officials who struggle to curb their growing numbers. The latest monkey-to-person encounter occurred last month when several of the monkeys charged a family vacationing in Silver Spring State Park, about 75 miles northwest of Orlando. And they took a cell video of it. But apparently the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission formed a working group to gather more information on the monkeys and brainstorm what to do. Apparently they came to Florida more than 80 years ago as a tourist attraction. And say, we want to know how many there are, how many troops. That sounds like Planet of the Apes. Where they're gravitating to and what we can do about them. These are the things that are unanswered that we really need to know. So they don't know how many of them are out there. There could be thousands of these things.
Yeah.
And apparently the Silver Spring State Park was privately owned in the mid-30s. So they brought in six of the monkeys as a tourist attraction. Brought in another six in 1948. And then they were put on an island, but quickly swam to the surrounding forests, spreading throughout the whole area. And scientists estimate there are 200 primates in Spring State Park alone. Another 72 have been sighted around Central Florida. The apes are taking over.
Well, listen.
And attacking people.
This is not unprecedented. We've always known this was going to happen eventually. We've treated our ape brethren like lesser creatures for far too long. And now
they are lesser creatures.
They're militarized. Now we're going to pay. Really, Fred?
I still
they're lesser creatures. How far can you throw your poop?
Probably a good 10 or 15 feet. I've never tried.
Yeah,
but I bet I could throw it as far as they can with more accuracy.
I doubt that. Seriously.
Oh no, I could definitely do it with more accuracy.
I doubt that seriously.
And I can shoot a gun. Can they?
Well, maybe you should watch the movie.
Well, these guys aren't shooting guns yet.
Not yet.
That's why we got to...
It starts somewhere.
We got to stop them now. That's why having a legal sword's great now. They can't use swords yet. I could go out there and chop them to pieces.
No, those monkeys, they would defeat you with a sword.
I don't think so.
I think. You're not a samurai.
Right now, they're just attacking.
You're no samurai.
I'm a samurai in training.
You're a Padawan.
I work out every day.
You're a Padawan.
I work on my samurai abilities every day. Pretty soon, I'm going to be able to sneak around in the dark.
I doubt that seriously.
It's probably not going to happen, but hey, one can try. Plus, I'll just go out and do a Jon Snow and just challenge him right in the middle of the field while they're shooting arrows at my little brother. That's what I'll do. This is a serious problem in Florida.
I don't know.
Florida's so messed up. Even their wildlife is messed up.
It's out of control there.
How about before it gets to apes versus humans? How about these monkeys against alligators?
Now, what if they team up?
Alligators are dangerous.
Florida's gone if they team up. That would be awful. Or would it? would losing Florida really be... Well, it'd suck for us because that's probably 20% of our show.
That would be sad.
Yeah.
I don't know what we'd do.
I think I'd be heartbroken. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you saw this, but we're talking about the McGregor-Mayweather thing earlier and how much handle they expect on the fight. Basically, per Bovada, McGregor was 11-1 when he opened. After this press tour, he's down to 4-1.
Jeez.
I mean, that's just silly. That's people watching this and saying, oh, I'm going to bet on him. Good luck.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the way these fights are set up. They want you. And every bet now that comes in on McGregor, Vegas is happy with. The bets that are going to be problematic if something were to happen are the ones that were 11-1.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But typically, this is the way it works with fight sports is the massive money bets don't come in until late. You know, they want to see where the action settles
at. And the big players, I'm guessing, are going to be on Mayweather.
Probably so.
Most of the – well,
especially if the number gets down.
Yeah, and I know a couple guys who bet quite a bit on fights, and I know both of them are going to be heavy on Mayweather, and they're just waiting. They're waiting for a number two. So – Longhorn Dimitri says, I think crazy Florida people might be the perfect fit to fight the apes.
I don't think so. Maybe bath-salted Florida people.
Yeah, because those guys will chew your face off.
What if the apes get hold of the bath salts, though?
Oh.
Then we're all doomed.
Somebody says, what if the apes are riding alligators cavalry style? That would not be good. Nick says, if Arian Foster can beat a wolf with a stick, we can beat monkeys with swords. I don't know if Arian Foster can beat that wolf, even with a stick.
I do know that Arian Foster can't beat a wolf with a stick.
How big's a stick?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
The bigger the stick, the harder it is for Arian Foster to swing it.
How big is a wolf?
I mean,
these are questions that have to be answered before you can speculate on this stuff. You have to answer these questions.
He's an average-sized wolf.
Okay, that's so pretty big.
Maybe, I'll say this. If Arian Foster had a baseball bat, I mean, I'd give him a chance. You know, you've got one. I mean, it's a puncher's chance, really. You got that. You got one good swing at it, and hope you better hit it right. You better hit it hard enough to knock it out. But that's just like you against a police dog. Most humans can't even beat a police dog.
Right?
How are you going to beat a wolf?
I have no idea. All right, quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Like, you know, wow, that's a new invention. This thing, you know, we're constantly evolving. It is constantly changing. That's all about change. Everybody's always trying to put labels on. There ain't no label for this.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Win a $250 gift card from Barcelona Sports. Just sign up to win on ESPN975.com/Barcelona Sports. One lucky winner takes home a $250 gift card. Best products, best prices, and personal service, Barcelona Sporting Goods. Your athletic outfitters, I keep wanting to call it athletic outfielder, your athletic outfitter since 1956. And the HD show with Fred Davis and All-Pro Henry Thomas is at 7 o'clock. That's one of those little things that I get stuck on. I get a word in my head. This is 3 days in a row where I've tried to say athletic outfielder. Maybe I just have George Springer on the mind. Maybe that's all it is. 713-780-ESPN. Man, this, this Manchester United, Manchester City thing is a big deal. I'm seeing people all over town wearing one or the other. Maybe soccer people can tell me how, you know, if this thing's going to sell out, how big a deal it is.
Somebody said, what did we call it, or what did someone call it the other day?
The Manchester Derby.
It's Derby.
It would be Derby if it's in England.
Right. That's
correct. The Manchester Derby.
Someone corrected us.
Well, in America, it's a Derby.
Derby.
That's right, like the Kentucky Derby. It's funny, though. I have friends from Europe, and they still call it the Kentucky Derby. Like, no, you're in America. America, it's Derby. Spelled D-E-R.
Derby.
One of them was trying to call my dog Derby. No, Derby, D-E-R, America. If I go over to Ireland for a race, I'll call it Derby. You guys came over here for a game? It's a Derby, not a Derby. Just like it's not a dynasty, Cersei. Your show's on in America, it's a dynasty.
Yeah, I don't like that. Dynasty.
Did you see them bring over a jersey for J.J. Watt?
Yeah. That's probably the biggest jersey for a soccer guy.
Yeah, but it's still tight. It's still tight on him.
It looked like one of those things where you expose your belly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I have your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Did you like the Jurassic Park movies?
I liked the first one.
Okay. I kind of that way, too. I mean, Jurassic World, I thought was eh. But you like the Tyrannosaurus Rex, right? Because he was scary and all over the place?
Yeah.
Well, leave it to science to bleep things up for us. A research team says that most of the scenes in Jurassic Park wouldn't have happened because Tyrannosaurus Rex could not run.
Oh, really?
No. It says he couldn't manage more than a walk.
He's a slow plodder, huh?
Yeah. The research led by scientists from the University of Manchester in the UK. There's a lot of Manchester people here today. So they're contributing to this. But basically, they used a model based on multi-body system dynamics to analyze the bends and twists applied to different parts of the skeleton. The model Rex was based on a specimen dug up in 1987 called BHI-3033, also known as Stan. But they basically figured out that because of the body weight and the legs, that they could not have moved more than 17, if they'd gone anything more than 17 miles per hour, the bones would have snapped.
It makes sense.
So,
because T-Rex is sort of built like the people at Walmart who ride the cart.
Exactly.
Yeah, they sit on that rascal shopping cart.
Mm.
So they've got to move slower. It makes sense.
Indeed. So leave it to science. Next time you watch Jurassic Park, just remember T-Rex's legs would have snapped.
It's all fake.
Yep. So, there you go. That's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Let's squeeze in a call or two. I'm guessing this is Bilal and not Below, because he wants to talk about the Manchester Derby.
Sports and soccer, gentlemen.
Sports, good sir.
Okay, so it is a derby. It's not a derby. Derby is the Kentucky one. This is a big deal because the first time these two teams are playing outside of England in their 174 match history, and they started in 1881.
All
so,
right.
So you're excited about this? You're going?
I am excited. I got my tickets way back when, yes.
Well, just because you call it a derby
over there. Is
anything
going to sell out? Like, are there tickets available?
There are some tickets available. I've seen them for as low as $49, but they're way up there.
Okay.
Well, enjoy the derby tonight.
I shall. I should be rooting for United all the way.
All right. Thanks. Now,
Gary says tickets for Man City Man U have been on Groupon for a month, so there are tickets available.
Okay. I mean, there's like all kinds of pregame parties set up all over the place. I mean, I've been seeing people wandering around with flags all day.
Yeah, if you're going home, avoid 610.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least going that way.
Yeah, I go the other way.
Yeah, you don't want to get in that mess.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll all be on 610. They won't be on 59.
I'm going to the Heights to drink beer, so I've got to take 610 some way.
Hmm. Well, but you go the opposite way.
Yeah, away from trouble.
Away from the Derby.
From soccer hooligans.
Because in horse racing over there, they call them derbies, too. So oh, that's God. Where this is coming from. So
the Kentucky Derby. Is that what they say?
Aye. Daniel, real quick. What's up, Daniel? Daniel. Yo, Daniel.
Did y'all catch the third episode of Snowfall?
I haven't watched it yet, only because my wife is out of town, and she wants me to wait for her to watch it.
I guess we'll kind of put that on the back burner then for y'all get to see it. I hate to ruin it for y'all or everybody else.
But. Yeah, I'm bummed that I didn't get to watch it last night. I was sitting there staring at it on my DVR thinking, oh, I can watch it and then just pretend like I didn't see it. But now DVR technology shows when you've already started it, and
yeah.
you can't get that bold lettering back once you watch it once. Doesn't yeah. work that way. Hey, I just saw...
And wives notice that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Hey, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I see Comicast.
Yes.
How come you haven't said anything about this?
We haven't released it yet. Me and Michael are going to start doing a podcast about like comic books, movies, Game of Thrones, that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Interesting. When it rained, Jungdu Comicast.
Podcast.
Yeah, actually, I saw the cover for it. Michael was showing me, and it looks very cool.
Yeah, Brandon Strange put that together for us.
All right. Brandon, you guys going to have guests?
Maybe. You want to come on?
Well, I don't like to do podcasts. I was just thinking, I know. Like, if you were going to have famous guests.
Right now, I think we're just going to start off and just do us two, and then we'll see where it goes, if it evolves, if we're going to keep doing it, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You should have some of the famous people on the station with you, like we're here.
I would do a podcast for you as long as it's before football season.
Okay. All right.
Once football season starts, I don't have time for podcasting. Maybe it was Dustin. I told Dustin I would do his podcast before football season, like after the NBA finals, before football season. He never got back to me, so that's on him.
Yep, your window's closing. This football's not that far away.
Yeah. So if you guys want to check it out, it's called Comicast, and it will be up, I think, either at the end of this week or beginning of next week. Brandon's a little slammed with other stuff.
I think it would be better if, like, I'll do your podcast, but it won't be as me. I'll be a character.
Okay. You know, come on as Rob Stark or something.
We'll just come up with some dead character, and I'll do that. I don't know what.
I'd like to come on as Maynard Monroe from Beaumont, Texas. That'd be fun. 713-780-ESPN. I got to tell you about Harry's. And
Harry's.
AJ uses these razors. I use these razors. My son uses these razors. Everybody.
Your son is shaving, huh?
Well, he's in college.
What about your daughter?
I don't know about that. I don't ask those kind of questions. But
I'll text her and ask.
Guys, if you haven't jumped on the Harry's bandwagon yet, now's the time. Because you're going to get it delivered right there to your home. You are going to get quality. You're going to save a bunch of money. You don't ever have to go to the store to get razors again. I have it set up to where I get replacement razors, and it's always right before I'm about to run out. It's just perfectly timed, and it's so convenient. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. They've got 100% satisfaction guarantee, so if you don't like what you get, you're going to get your money back. And they're so confident that's not going to be the case. You're going to love their blades. They're going to give you their set for free. All you have to do is cover shipping. Your free trial set includes an ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. We partner with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. All you have to do is head over to harrys.com/blitz to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer. That's right, free. All you cover is just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/blitz. That's harrys.com/blitz. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.